The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about independent movie making and comic books. Yes, that's an interesting combination. It's about an independent movie that focuses on comic books. It's called The Comic Shop. It's directed and written by Jonathan L. Bowen. It stars Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives, Micah Giovanni, Tristan Mays, Trevor Einhorn, with a couple of cameos by Eric Roberts, who we all know, as well as Carrot Top Thompson. The story takes place in Las Vegas. It's shot there. It's a slice of life love letter to comic fans that general audiences can easily relate to. So it's really about relationships, and it takes place with a backdrop and a world that's based on comic books and the whole comic book industry and all the fans. I'm sure any comic fan in the audience will relate to the story and be able to relate to all the characters and the whole process of comic books and why we love them so much. I mean, so many people have drawn inspiration from the heroes that are born on ink and paper and have blossomed into our imagination. But the real heroes in the comic shop are people, regular people who learn to relate with one another, who learn to overcome obstacles and challenges and learn to succeed in spite of daunting odds. The film is going to be distributed by Quiver next year, and I think you're really going to join my conversation with Jonathan L. Bowen, because he's gone through a lot of the challenges and along his path to making movies, and particularly this movie, and he's a fan of comic books. And so there's a lot of heartfelt communication that's in the movie that comic fans, again, will relate to, as well as just a general audience. I'm not a big comic book person myself, but I could totally relate to the story. I love the fact that it's a quote-unquote small story. It's not a big tentpole superhero movie. It's about the people who make comic books and who love comic books. And there's some references to Comic-Con, and there's some really insider information about how comic books are created, how the audiences come to love certain characters, and how smart the comic book audience is about insisting, if you will, on really good storytelling before they get on board and follow a specific character or comic book. So it's good stuff. I think you're really going to enjoy today's episode, my conversation with Jonathan L. Bowen, here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to cover a topic we don't always get to cover on Guys Guys Radio, and that is movie making and independent movie making, and be able to really highlight somebody who's gone on the journey and has succeeded. I want to tell you a little bit about my special guest, Jonathan L. Bowen. He's got a new film. It's called The Comic Shop, and it does take place in an environment of a comic book shop, but also it's really about people and relationships. And it's what I call, quote unquote, in a really positive way, a small film with a big message. And it's got a lot of heart. It's got Jesse Metcalf in the lead from Desperate Housewives, Tristan Mays from MacGyver. There's some cameos by Eric Roberts and Carrot Top. It all takes place in Las Vegas. It's a heartfelt movie. I've seen it. It's coming out soon. I highly recommend it. And I'm delighted to welcome to the show Jonathan L. Bowen. How you doing, Jonathan?
Hey, thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Well, let's, for the benefit of our audience who may not know too much about you yet, why don't you tell us a little bit about everything leading up to this film, and then we'll get into the film. So how'd you get your start? I know you were a big Star Wars fan, a big comic book fan, but this, your background and all, has a lot more to it than what took you to the comic shop.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, a really big part of it was that sort of passion for filmmaking, and coming from a perspective of like growing up with comics and just being really excited to tell a story, to see these, you know, fantastic stories, if you will, but also like as somebody who, you know, wanted to share some sort of, you know, as you say, like normal story. So yeah. So when I was growing up, like these were the kind of stories I saw, but also like I was really into indie comics. So it wasn't always, you know, Superman and Spider-Man and all that. And so when I was thinking of the comic shop, you know, I wanted to tell a story that could be relatable to like just normal people. Like, and for me, being in a position where it was like not superheroes all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have to make a living, you know, we have to do our normal thing. And that's kind of where the comic shop was born. It's like industrials, commercials, like, you know, your average sort of thing where it's like, well, this isn't really the dream.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, where can I find something that makes me passionate, that makes me, you know, be able to pursue that dream?
You know, so, and I think what you're talking about is, as you were working as a beginning director, if you will, you did some advertising, which really is a high skill. My background is in advertising. Sure. And I shot with Michael Bay, my first commercial. We had Michael Bay for Crunch and Munch, and we had a budget of $150,000. And he wouldn't even talk to us. He was just setting up shots, and he did a great job. But it's a skill to get jam a message into 30 seconds or 60 seconds or 15 seconds. I know it's tough. And industrials, I just actually was involved as a talent in an industrial for a nursing group. And it's the real deal. That's how you really kind of hone your craft. So what did you learn that you didn't, what did you realize that you learned from doing advertising and also from industrials about the craft that really helped you when you started making real movies like The Comic Shop?
Oh boy, yeah, that is a good question. So we've done over 1,000 senior living videos, and I think a lot of it was really just to make sure that the message comes through clear. You know, as you said, you don't have a lot of time. So you really have to focus that message, and you have to make sure that each thing you deliver is really impactful. And it's really like, for us, like there's an actual difference between 2 minutes and 3 minutes. Like 2 minutes may be a really good time. 3 minutes may be way too long. So same is true with the scene. You know, you can get a scene where you're like, oh man, this thing is really dragging, you know? Mm-hmm. So you really have to make sure each scene is like as meaningful as possible without you watching it and thinking, oh man, is this thing going to keep going, you know?
Well, now, Jonathan, were you writing the scripts for the, you know, for the industrials as well as for the ad? I mean, I'm from advertising, so we had a copywriter and an art director and a producer in-house. And we'd usually farm something out, and then we get the vision from the who's ever going to shoot it, and everybody would work together that way. Did you write the industrials, and did you do any of the writing for the advertising as well as the directing?
Yeah, early on we did. So what we did was we would do the interviews, and then I would write the transcriptions, as we called them. You know, like basically as accurate as we could on the. You know, everything that was said, and then sort of like put them together. So, you know,
to tell a story. So this was was for the seniors, right?
For a lot of the seniors. And, you know, I don't know if this makes any sense, but sometimes they would, this is their only chance to complain. So sometimes they would actually use this as an opportunity and be like, well, I like the spaghetti, but they serve it a lot too often. It's about 3 times a week, And so you have to kind of cut that stuff out where it's like, I mean, we don't really need them to talk about how often they serve us, or the staff might be, well, they're real friendly, but they try to get you too involved, they want you to do everything. And so you have to kind of cut around that stuff a little bit and just kind of cut for brevity, and so when you see the final video, it's like, oh, the staff is great. Oh, we love the spaghetti, this
Right,
kind
exactly.
of.
It's a,
So
so when you were doing that, what was the path? So you were doing that to pay the bills and hone your craft, obviously. Did you
right.
have any other projects before the comic shop that were kind of films, if you will, whether they're
Right.
short films or full length like this one, a feature?
Yeah. So I did a feature when I was about 27, and that was really sort of the whole impetus for Comic Shop in the sense that that was my passion. So here I am doing all this Plan B stuff, and I had so much fun doing my first feature. It was such a passion project.
What was it with Jonathan?
It was called Amy Allison Fans. And so it was a romantic comedy about like a guy and a girl who moved to Hollywood, each trying to make it. And it was a real opportunity to like sort of, showcase my talents as a director. And
Did you write it?
yeah, I wrote it as well.
Okay.
And so, here I am for the better part of a decade trying to do all this corporate work and be like, this is kind of really what I wanted to do. And that was the tricky part is I, try to get back there, right? Because you make this movie you're really proud of, but at the same time, that's not like what you're known for now. Like, you're doing the corporate work. So I for a long time I thought, will I ever get to do another feature? And that's sort of where Comic Shop was born, where it was like, I hope I get to do that
Now,
again.
how did you, with for your first film, how did you actually get yourself in a position to actually shoot it and produce it? I mean, that's a major, whatever happens to the film, it doesn't
Sure.
really matter for the first one. It's like you know how to do it. And just the fact that you did it. So how did you do it? How did you get to the place where I'm going to shoot this, it's financed, and we're going to get it out there and just see what happens?
Right. Yeah, it was really tiny budget, and I had engaged these producers who had just come off a movie, All Star in Love, with Anne Margaret, Cedric the Entertainer, and Christina Ricci, and I couldn't believe they wanted to work with me. I mean, they were making a $10 million movie, and I kind of thought it was a joke. So I was like, "Are you guys sure?" There's no money in this. And they're like,
Did you have to pitch them, Jonathan?
yeah, it was sort of like, honestly, it was sort of like a Craigslist thing, And so I was like, I couldn't believe they were interested. And they're like, no, we understand it's a really small budget. And I said, okay, well, So they were working on if it makes money, they'll make money. If it doesn't, that's just the way it goes. So we got a bunch of awesome people involved, and we did some really neat product placement, and we shot this thing in like 12 days, so 2 6-day weeks, and we did I think 3 or 4 days of pickups or whatever, so not too bad, but yeah, it was very intense. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from it. But one of the things I learned from it is that when you take a movie out to the distributors and you have something that you're very proud of, even if it's good, we got a lot of, yeah, it's nice. We liked it. Okay, and there's no one in it. So we can't help you. I'm
Right.
like,
You need the name, right?
but
The talent.
you said it's good. Yeah, it's good. There's no one in it though. So we got this over and over again. Showtime, HBO, you know, all this. And so that taught me, like, you know, as I had a more than a decade between films, I don't want to make that mistake again. You know, we have to make something that, like, it has to be good, but we have to have someone in it. Like, who's going to check the box for the distributor? So.
So when you were and my special guest on Guys Guys Radio is a writer director, Jonathan L. Bone. The new movie is The Comic Shop. So we're talking about Jonathan's background and also kind of leading up to making The Comic Shop. And you learned that you needed a talent attached to this. So did you be, where were you in the process of having the idea or having a script done when you went out and said, I got to get some talent attached to this to be able to get the financing?
Yeah, so I had written something in 2018, and I figured it was something producible, in the sense that it, you know, it was low budget overall, but we need somebody who checks the boxes. So I met with the producer, one of the two producers who I had worked with on the first film in April 2021. So we were like, you know, middle of the pandemic, and him and I had talked, and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna be in Vegas next week if you want to meet." I thought, "Okay, that'll be fun. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been a long time, you know." And so then we kind of met, and he said, "Hey, do you have any movies we can make?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess I've got one. We could do that." And so then we kind of asked the distributor, like, what would be a list of people that checks your boxes? Because we don't have a lot of money, but like, who might check your boxes as far as getting this money back? And you know, that was kind of the way that we approached casting. Because if we were excited about somebody, but distributor's like, yeah, we don't care about that guy. Like, how does that help us, you know? And so then once we got to Jesse, and you know, Jesse says, yes, I'll do it, then we're like, we have a go movie, you know.
Now we're talking about Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives, who's a star, and then you've got Tristan Mays, and then you've also got one of the guys from Mad Men, Trevor Einhorn,
Right.
and then you've got some cameos from Carrot Top, I guess because of the Vegas connection, and Eric Roberts, who appears in everything. He's
Yeah,
the right.
that's true.
He's like the Cal Ripken of
That's
film. So how did you then what was the next step in terms of getting somebody like Metcalf? Because you had somebody else in mind, but it was too expensive from what I read.
Yeah, that's true. So we talked about Justin Long. That was the really first sort of big idea or exciting. And God, we waited for Justin Long for 6 weeks or so, which really eats into your time, right? I
Sure.
mean, just say yes or no at that point.
Right.
So we were looking at about a $1 million budget, and Justin Long said that he would do it for 400,000.
There you go.
So when we hear that, we're like, I don't think we can pay him that and then still
Right.
have the money left over for making the actual movie.
Right. Okay.
And I'll never forget the time where we were going for Justin Long, and at the same time Lindsay Lohan. And Lindsay Lohan said something like 400,000 too. And my producer said, "Well, why don't we just give him the whole million and just forget about it? Then we don't even have to make the movie. We can just give him whole $1 million and just forget about it." So,
If I may, Jonathan, let me just read a little bit about what the movie's about. So the movie's called The Comic Shop. It's shot in Las Vegas, a slice of life love letter to comic fans that general audiences was, it will easily relate to. I've seen the movie. I agree completely. Inspiration was drawn from larger-than-life heroes that are born on ink and paper and blossom into our imagination. But the comic shop reminds us that the best sources of inspiration are those around us who are willing to take a risk and risk it all to help find their way. So great job, Jonathan, on this film. So talk to us a little bit about, okay, you got the financing then. You got Jesse Metcalf. How did you get Tristan Mays from MacGyver? I know you're a big MacGyver fan. And how did you get started? Why did you shoot it in Vegas? And on and on and on. Just tell us about the film.
Yeah. Okay. So for Tristan, it was really fun, actually, because I was, as a lot of us were, in the middle of the pandemic. And, I'm looking for something to watch. So I love the original MacGyver. And I thought, well, I haven't really given a chance to the reboot. So why not? Let's watch it. So I start binging the reboot of MacGyver, and I'm watching Tristan, and I remember so vividly thinking, like, oh, are we ever going to get to a point where we can go make a movie again? I mean, or is this just we're all just stuck at home watching where we can watch,
Right.
And so then the producers and the casting director had a couple names for us, like, oh, what do you think about this for our character of Alex, which was Tristan's character? And we made a couple offers, and they weren't interested. So then we're all racking our brains, like, who could play Alex? And I kind of threw out, I was like, do you guys know who Tristan Mays is? And one of the producers was like, yeah, I know who she is. And I said, I think she would be perfect for the role. I mean, are we shooting too big? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't really know, like, who costs what, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, like, well, she was the lead in MacGyver, but maybe it wouldn't hurt to ask her. And so we did. And 48 hours later, she accepted, which was pretty neat. I thought that.
Why do you think she came around so quickly? I mean, obviously she gravitated to the material. What was in there? Do you think that she related to?
So she has told me that, like, she hadn't gotten a lot of offers, which really surprised me.
And she's terrific.
Yeah. I thought she was so good. And, in my mind, this is what Hollywood looks for, like a really talented, female lead who has that ethnic background as well. Right. I mean, so I couldn't really figure that out, but, we were so happy to have her. And I remember the first Zoom call where she said, I don't know much about comics. And Jesse, I was going to answer it, but Jesse took it right away. And he's like, the movie's not about comics. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, okay. And he said, the movie is really about, like, people who have given up on their dreams and who want to take another stab at it, And I thought that was kind of a moment where I thought, he gets it, Like, Jesse really understands this movie. Mm-hmm. Because that's true. It isn't about comics. It could have been said in any sort of other realm where the person is, not living up to their potential, I guess, right? Like, and that is something where it's like there's that, like, confidence of a guy. Like, I mean, I know when I was younger, a big part of my life was getting into working out and getting into fitness. And that helped me have that sort of confidence mm-hmm. to be able to pursue what I wanted.
Right.
And you think, well, fitness isn't related to working out, but it is. I mean, there was no way to do what I wanted to do without feeling like the person that I needed to become, So I thought that was really valuable for Jesse to understand that, like, it isn't about that.
Mm-hmm. No, he got it. He got the storytelling about, like, what does the main character want and why can't he get it? And you have a nice series of escalating challenges. I mean, you do it. It's done in a way that it's so seamless and the story is so heartwarming. I really enjoyed the film, and for everybody out there listening or watching, You know, what's great about this movie is it's about real people. It's a throwback in a really good way because there's so many movies out there now that are so dark, or they're superhero movies, or super dark superhero movies. So it's really hard to find a heartfelt, I'll say innocent in quotations, because it's about really how people are, how people live. And I think your cast, you did a marvelous job shooting, and I think writing also, and the cast did a really good job, and they had great chemistry together. So congrats on that, Jonathan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I do think that was really important. Like, we knew from the start that this movie is built on the acting, you know? Like, we don't have a bunch of money. So what we do have is characters who are hopefully relatable, and that we see them, that you can see something there for you. Like, whether it's Brandon as he's younger, or if you were like, you know, I always pitch this way, like, you're a middle-aged person, and I say, it's not too late to try again, because the only time it's too late is when you're 80 years old thinking, oh man,
I should have.
I wish I would have done this. You
Exactly.
know, don't put yourself in that position. At least if you tried, even if
Exactly.
you didn't succeed, you're no coward. Like, you did it. Like, you at least gave it a go. Maybe it didn't work out,
And there's
but you.
different.
Yeah, you can't put yourself in that position where you're like, oh man, like, what would have happened if I actually gave it a go, you know? And I think that, like, so I reframe sometimes when I'm in my home gym, I reframe the situation, because sometimes I think, oh, I'm so tired. Like, I don't even want to do this today. But then I reframe it and think, it is a privilege, because one day I won't be able to do what I did today. And if I don't see it as a privilege, then I'm not going to be able to get there, you know? Like, how do I look at it, like, when I'm benching a heavy weight, instead of, oh, what a pain in the butt, right? If I think instead, like, this is really actually awesome that I can do this still.
Exactly.
Because I'm not in my 20s, I'm in my 40s, so it is a privilege. You know, there might come a day where it's like, oh, I've got this, you know, tendon issue, or I don't have the energy, you know. And so I think you have to look at it like that, you know.
So let's talk a little bit about the main character. He's a guy who has a talent in illustrating and comics, and he opens up a comic shop because he's kind of put that aside, and he has a little bit because he's doing something that's kind of a day-to-day thing that's not that inspiring to him, and he's got competition down the street, a big kind of national brand has opened up down there. And he so every once in a while he heads out to the local pub and has a couple. You say, I think from what I've read about you, Jonathan, that that's based on some reality there, on some folks that you've known. You kind of wove that into the story.
Yeah, it is. So, when I was growing up, I knew a character, a person who, you know, works at the comic shop. And as I went there more and more often, he wasn't there. And so I would ask the staff, I'm like, oh, hey, where's Mike? And for a while they were like, oh, well, he's busy, you know, he has other engagements today. As I went there more and more, they would say, well, he's across the street at the pub. And, you know, picture when you're like 11 or 12, that doesn't really have meaning to me. I don't know what that means. Like, why is he at the pub instead of here? Does not make sense, you know? And so I thought, okay. And as this story sort of progressed, then I eventually, you know, saw the store close. It went into bankruptcy or whatever. And as an adult, I wanted to make sense of it. Like, I couldn't, it didn't make sense to me, like, as a kid. So I thought, well, what would cause somebody to behave like this? Like, was it the store wasn't doing well, so then he went to go drink across the street? Or was his drinking across the street causing the store not to do well? So I wanted to write Mike sort of that happy ending that he never got in real life. And I imagined, like, maybe this wasn't the dream, like maybe he really wanted to illustrate for comics, and selling comics wasn't the dream. Because you have to think that, like, when I was 11 or 12, I thought that is the coolest job in the world, right?
Sure.
Like you own a comic shop, I go there every week, but like you live there. So kids don't realize that maybe that isn't like the coolest job. Maybe it's just a job, There's the accounting, there's the like
Of
the
course,
order shipments
it's a
every week.
business.
Right. But like when you're a kid, you're thinking, oh man, like anything he wants, he can put aside, and what a neat place to spend all day in.
I totally get it. So the comics itself, though, you did a great job. You've got this character. He is a Tron man. What is he?
Technoman.
Techno man. And there's some fantastic drawings in the film. How did you pull that off? Because for the authenticity, you had to do something that was not just, you've got the comic book backdrop, but you had to create something on your own that was worthy of the aficionados who collect comics. And say, yeah,
Right.
that works for us. How'd you manage that? That's not easy.
No, it wasn't. So I went on places like Craigslist and asked people to send me your portfolio. Like, here's what we're doing. We're making a movie. I need somebody who can actually create like a real life comic book. And I got a lot of inquiries where it was like, there was talent, but it wasn't quite there. And I was really excited by the person we found. His name was Travis Stevens. Because Travis sort of embodied the actual story of the comic shop. So Travis told me that he had quit about 5 months ago, and he said, I was an assistant manager at Walmart and I quit to pursue my actual dream. And I thought, this is perfect. You actually are the protagonist of the movie. Like,
Right, it's
you're
him.
quitting your day job to pursue
It's a problem.
the main realization that you want to do. And so he was really great. But you're right, because we had to create like multiple front issues, like number one, I think we did number one, two, three, and 37, and then actually an inside fold as well. So he had to kind of get the character.
And you really got into also the mindset of the comic book aficionados, where they like the first issue. I remember your main character bought a whole bunch of to keep the business going, took a chance on a new edition, a new character. I think it was this Techno Man, and
Right.
the first one was really good, and then the rest of the storytelling wasn't that good. I mean, how did you learn about that? Was that from your own personal experience about the importance of storytelling, even in the comic book landscape?
Yeah, I think so, because so I remember when I was younger, for me the big new thing, like this inspired some of the story, was Image Comics. And that was Todd McFarlane and Jim Lee, all these people leaving to found Image. And so Todd McFarlane did Spawn, which Spawn was very successful, and I love it. I still learn today. But there were other number ones that we all collected, and then as we kind of moved on, they were not that exciting. Like,
Got it.
it might have been a great launch issue, but then, all of a sudden you're like, do I want to keep buying this over and over?
Exactly.
And you could appreciate the entrepreneurial spirit, right? But like, it wasn't something that was gonna last the long term. And so you see Mike's friend in the movie. He's Mr. Sales. I mean, I always said this guy could sell ice to an Eskimo. Oh, Mike, you're gonna love this. Everything's gonna be great. It's all gonna be amazing. And then he buys it, and like most of them just are not really that
So
good.
how tell us about this, Jonathan. And Jonathan L. Bowen, my special guest on Guys Radio, we're talking about his new movie, The Comic Shop. Why Vegas, and how does Vegas factor into the story, and how did you get Carrot Top and Eric Roberts to do cameos for you?
Sure, yeah. So I moved to Vegas in 2019, which I had wanted to move to Vegas for about a decade. It all started when I was in LA, and it was a joke originally because LA is very expensive. So I remember sitting there thinking, I could practically move to Vegas, and if I had a meeting in LA, I could just drive. I could just drive overnight. And I made it as a joke. And I remember a couple days later thinking, like, wait a minute. Well, I actually could do that. Like, why am I not living in Vegas? And before I could really act on this, I went back up to Portland, which is my hometown, and I spent the summer there after my first film, hanging out with friends, family, just kind of decompressing. And I explicitly told myself, do not go out to bars, do not leave the house, because what if I meet a girl up here? I don't want to do that, I didn't leave the house. I still met the girl because a friend brought, a girl to the house, and so like here I am, like trying not, like you know what they say. It's so true though. They
Hilarious.
say, well, you're always going to meet the girl when you're least expecting it. I'm like,
Exactly.
that's actually not untrue. Like you can be actively trying not to do that, and then she comes to you. So, I meet my wife. And I'm stuck back in Portland. I end up moving to Portland, and I told her after a while, I said, I can't do it any longer. Like, it's too dark up here, it's too depressing. I've got to move somewhere where there's some sun,
How do you like living in Vegas? Vegas to me is like, I've been there. I had a meeting with Zappos one time. Went out there in August. It was hot.
Right.
It was
Oh
like, I
God.
mean, crazy hot.
Yeah. Oh. August is really hot. So I like the heat, but like the way I put it is I only engage it on my terms. So I have a pool in the backyard, and I've got an outdoor TV, and I'll get some crap for this, but I'm a Yankees fan. So I'll throw on the Yankees game, and I don't pay a lot of attention. Like I just float around in the pool, and if I hear something like, there's a fly ball deep to left, and I'm like looking like, oh, okay. Oh, he caught it. All right. So it's something, sort of fun to do.
You
And
like
so
it. You like
yeah,
Vegas.
I really like it. And I happen to move it at a good time because the price has just skyrocketed after, we're here for the pandemic. Mean, I couldn't believe it. Like we get a house for our house is 733, and now the house is like 1.5 million.
That's crazy.
I mean,
Everywhere.
that's really crazy because 733 seemed like, okay, it's expensive, but like not that much money,
Not
like
1.5 million, right? Exactly.
no, it wasn't in the luxury home territory. And now it's like, oh, it's a luxury home. Like, okay, I wasn't when we bought it,
Amazing.
So when we were getting Carrot Top and Eric Roberts, we also had Murray Sawchuk and Murray the Magician. So these things were like important because I wanted to establish it as a local movie, like a Vegas movie, but not in the way that like The Hangover is, right? Like where that's the Vegas that the tourists think of. I want to make it the Vegas that like the locals think of,
Got it.
or we have those boring strip malls. Like, there's nothing in the strip mall besides like a pawn shop, a sandwich place, and like, a couple of like maybe a bank or something like that. And Carrot Top, Scotty, was just so nice. Like, just so down to earth. I actually made such an awkward ask of him because he came on the last day we were filming at the comic shop at the main one. And we want to grab like a sunset shot of the parking lot, and we just hadn't done it, and we should have done it before. It wasn't great timing. So I said, "Hey, I'm so sorry, but Scotty, is there any way I could get you to wait like about 15 minutes as we get this shot?" And I realize I'm asking this guy who's like a star on the strip to just sit there and do nothing. And he's like, "Oh yeah, no problem. I know how filmmaking works." And he did. He just sat
Awesome.
tight and got the shot. Just so nice. And when he came, he also said, I have an idea for the scene. Like, I know what I want to do for the cameo," which was great for me because I actually didn't have it. Like, I hadn't scripted the cameo. I thought, well, I don't know. Let's see what Carrot Top comes up with. And he's like, I'm gonna be a big comic fan. I'm gonna come up and I'm gonna ask him about these things." And I'm just like, "Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely, do your thing." And we did have a number of like very R-rated takes at the start where they were both like swearing back and forth, and we were dying. And I'll never forget though, the producers came into my ear and said, "Get a PG-rated take." And I was like, "Oh, it's so funny though." And they're like, "Get the PG-rated." Okay. No problem,
Amazing. All right, we're getting tight on time here. I want to make sure I give you a chance to tell everybody, Jonathan L. Bowen. The Comic Shop is the movie. When's it coming out? Where can people see it? How can people find your other movies and kind of keep track of you and your career?
So we should be streaming sometime next year. We have a distributor, but we don't actually have the streamer. So it's a distributor's job to like find us the streamer, whether it's Netflix or Amazon or Showtime or whatever. I'm at Director Bowen on Instagram, and I'm also directorbowen.com as far as like finding online. So Bowen's Bowen. And I try to post all the blog entries. So like from whatever podcast appearances or like whenever the movie's going to come out, it will be listed there. So
Do you put it in any shows, Jonathan?
put it in
Like
any
a, award show, it shows to film festivals.
So we played Orlando Film Festival last month, which was really fun. And I've submitted to a number of other festivals. Fingers crossed that we get into one of them.
Great.
It is always a challenge.
Sure. Okay, well, listen, you're doing great work, and I love the fact you're making heartwarming movies about real people, in this particularly in this time where everything's so big and dark these days for whatever reason. But you're doing great work, and I really enjoyed the film. And I everybody, you've got to check it out. The Comic Shop when it comes out. Jesse Metcalf, Tristan Mays, Jonathan L. Bowen, written and directed, and continue to do great work. And thank you for being on Guys Guys Radio. I hope you come back with your next project.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating conversation with Jonathan L. Bowen about movie making in general, and also the movie coming out very shortly called The Comic Shop, and how a movie gets made, how it gets put together, and kind of inside the inner world, if you will, the inner sanctum of the comic book world. So there's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack, and I think one of the biggest takeaways is that, if you have a dream like the main character Mike does in the movie, as well as Jonathan, to be able to create something that other people can enjoy, you have to stick with it. You're going to be faced with challenges. You're going to need to overcome those challenges as best you can, and do it with some type of elan and integrity and authenticity. And I think Jonathan's does did that. He managed to get the film financed. He managed to write and direct the film. He managed to get some good performances out of really terrific actors, Jesse Metcalf and Tristan Mays, just were wonderful, and they had great chemistry together in this. And I think Jonathan also learned some of the ins and outs of movie making and how deals get made and how you get distribution and how you get financing and how you do casting and how much it is a money business in many ways. The film business is a lot of it is based on getting one, a star attached. And also getting the right amount of funds to be able to make a movie. But if you stick with your dream and you just keep asking, all you need, as they say, is one yes to get something greenlit, whether it's a book, whether it's an article, whether it's a song, whether it's a movie. You just need that one yes, the important yes, to get you moving forward. So if you believe in your dream and you believe in your product and you believe in yourself and you stick with it, there's opportunities for you out there. You just got to keep knocking on doors until you get somebody to let you in and say, you know what? I'm passionate about that also. And the other thing is, when you're working with people in any type of creative endeavor, when you want representation or whatever it is, you want the people really into your work. You don't want it to be just they're taking it and like, ah, we'll see how it goes. You want enthusiasm. You want the same passion about your product and your project as from the people you're working with as you have for it. Because of course it's going to be important to you if you're in the main, you're in the captain's seat, if you will, and you're driving the whole project. But you want to work with other people who feel equally strong and equally passionate about the good work that you're doing. And that, I think, makes all the difference in the world. And I think Jonathan managed to put together a team, whether it was in casting and financing and finding the right location and even the subject matter of comic books that worked for himself and worked for everybody. And I think when you see the movie, The Comic Shop, you'll really enjoy it, and you will enjoy it. You'll enjoy the performances and the story. So check it out by Jonathan L. Bowen. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, guys, finish first.